Good evening and welcome to the NFL Draft.
This is Seattle Sports presentation of the NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick streaming on the Seattle Sports app.
Come on, man.
The Seattle Seahawks pick is in. We are just waiting for the announcement from Commissioner Roger Goodell as we continue our coverage here live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Bob Stelton, Brock Heward, Michael Bumpus, and Dave Wyman with you. The first defensive player taken in the draft came off the board in the last pick going to the Indianapolis Colts. Laiatu Latu out of UCLA, edge rusher, heads to the Indianapolis Colts. So there are a whole bunch of defensive players still hanging around out there. Troy Fautanu is still hanging around out there. I thought the Seahawks might trade back. It does not appear that they did. The pick is in. So
what was worse last year, the offense or the defense?
Easy. The defense.
Easy question.
Yes.
And really, it's just been deteriorating since.
That's been true for a couple years.
16, maybe. Yeah. 17. So, yeah, Latu was maybe my favorite defender that I looked at, watching him, how he was so refined as a pass rusher. But apparently, it's funny how different teams are in the NFL as far as the medical part of it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the Seahawks are just very disciplined about that, and I like that.
So do you want Troy Fautanu or do you want the best defensive player?
Best defensive player.
Troy.
I want Troy Fautanu. You could say last year, absolutely, Dave, you're right. In the last couple of years, the defense has been a sieve. But you know what? You have Uchenna Nwosu coming back. You hired a D coordinator with a new scheme. You signed back Leonard Williams. You signed Dre Jones. You signed two veteran linebackers. The biggest need for this team the last decade, and to make Geno better and all those offensive weapons better for me, Troy Fautanu fits that and fills that void.
Yeah, you know what? Real quick, Bump. I thought if Bowers or Penix isn't there, that they should take Fautanu. But my mind has changed a little bit because I'm just looking at, just in general, what needs more help?
Boy, they're showing Dallas Turner. They said there was a 5% chance he would be available here with the 16th pick.
He is one uniquely gifted dude, man.
I'm going off of what Brock said, man. You got a chin over there. You got DT who's coming back. Boye Mafe has gotten better every year. You got Derek Hall, you're still trying to see what happens there. Yep. There's depth at those positions. I can see you grabbing one late. But if you're looking at what's going to make this team go, it has to be the offense. The offense has to come out week one ready to go because you're still trying to figure some things out on defense. New offensive coordinator, but you got DK. You got Lockett, two running backs, a quarterback who's capable and can win some ball games. Tackles who are ready to go if Abe is healthy. You're looking at the guard positions and saying, okay, there's competition there. Who's going to be the guy? And don't forget the center. You still got Nick and Olawood Timmy kind of battling.
And let
that
me remind
too.
You as well, this guy played for your new offensive coordinator.
Right.
Right. Ryan Grubb and the new O-line coach.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No question about that. But, you were going through the defensive ends bump because I've done the same thing and talk about what they have. But that's kind of how we were at corner last year when they took Witherspoon.
Yeah.
So, and I know John always says, can't have enough pass rushers. So. Yep. Maybe that's the case there, but
gut tells me that Latu wasn't even maybe a possibility here. That's what my gut tells me. So,
well, based on
just the past history, and the injury history and everything else, it just was not a conversation. And here comes a whole lot of conversation.
There'll be a lot depending on what the Seahawks do here. The pick is in. They'll be followed by the Jacksonville Jaguars at 17. But the Seahawks have made the pick. Just waiting for the commissioner Roger Goodell to make his way out onto the stage, up to the podium to make everybody's night or break everybody's heart. We'll see exactly what kind of announcement is coming from the Seattle Seahawks. We're so used to them taking a left when we all expect that they should go right with a pick. There's always the obvious pick. We feel like, oh, this guy's there. They're going to take him. And then more often than not, they take somebody you hadn't considered. So we'll see if that's going to hold true without Pete Carroll for the first time.
And I think a huge advantage that 6 of 12 quarterbacks, six quarterbacks went ahead of you. All these tackles went ahead of you that you weren't really in the market for those guys. So whether it's a defensive player, Dave, exactly to your point where there is need for this group, or whether it is a Troy Fautanu who is an elite dude that just so happened to be in a class with 4 or 5 other elite offensive tackles and why he's still sitting here at 16.
Let's send it out there now. Looks like the commissioner is making his way out to the podium with the Seahawks pick at number 16.
Thank you to our men and women who serve in the United States military. Your sacrifices to defend our country's freedom do not go unnoticed. Thank you so much. With the 16th pick, in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, Texas.
All righty. As I said, you very often see a guy sitting there that makes all the sense in the world. They go right instead of the left turn we all thought they were going to take. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, not an edge rusher. They go Byron Murphy. Now, that is somebody that was mocked to them quite often early as the mock drafts were going on. But you saw that start to dissipate. First blush reaction, Brock, start with you.
Well, Dave, you got what you wanted, man. You got to help and address your defense, and you were 31st in the league at stopping the run. And you'd listen to anybody that's covered Michigan over the years, where Mike McDonald was, where his roots have been cultivated with the Harbaughs, you build a wall. That is the philosophy of Mike McDonald and this defense. You build a wall. And that means you stop the run. And this dude right here is a 6 foot, 300 pound ball of freaking muscle. He ran 4.8 at the combine. He is a freak. Bruce Feldman, my buddy, put him in his freaks list. There wasn't enough weight in the Texas weight room to handle his power cleans and his squats. He is a dynamic, dynamic, dynamic dude right in the middle of the defensive line. So, you know, John Schneider's going to get up there, and he's going to say this confidently. We got the number one defensive guy on our board, and we got him at 16 in this draft.
Yeah, you're watching work here, and we're just looking at some highlights, and the strength definitely shows up. 4.87, I'll tell you what, for 300-plus pounds – that's hauling that dude. I agree with you, Brock. I think that it all starts up front, and we saw what, I think it was Matt Abwike, Bob, that we were looking at last year that had double digit sacks
from the interior.
Yeah. From the inside. So, you know, maybe him or Leonard Williams, but you have those two guys in there. Brock, I remember you telling the story. I can't remember. I think one of the guys' last names was Stroud, the two big D tackles that Jacksonville had.
Henderson and Stroud.
Henderson and Stroud. And I remember you telling me that when you were in Indy, that you would have to rip up like 60% of your run plays and just go, we can't run these plays.
Not even going to try.
Because of those two defensive tackles. You just can't move them out of there, right?
Yep. You're looking at the war room and their hugs, and you know this. You know exactly. We've done this for a long time, and we know this for a fact that last year when they picked Witherspoon, that was our guy. He's the number one corner. He's when they picked Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's the number one receiver because they had their choice. And today, and I think Latu was not an option for him. I will say that pretty confidently. I don't want to say that as a fact with a source, but I'm pretty confident. And, Bump, they just got their number one defensive guy on their board with the 16th pick in the draft.
Should it have been their number one defensive guy? Should he have been?
If they're going to go defense, that's where I would have went. And he's been mocked.
Should we get the Vikings pick here, or do we want to keep going?
Who cares?
All right, let's keep going. All right, so Vikings pick is in. We'll tell you who it is here in a moment.
First reaction.
Minnesota Vikings select Dallas Turner, linebacker, Alabama.
All right, Dallas Turner.
Am I back? Am I ready?
You're ready.
Okay.
There you go. Dallas Turner going to the Vikings with number 17.
First reaction, I want to foul Tony. Second reaction, I understand what the heck's going on here. Jay Reid has one more year left on his contract. Mm-hmm. You sign Leonard Williams. Behind Jay Reid, you got Jonathan Hankins. Most of y'all don't know who he is. You got Cam Young, who struggled to get on the football field for a reason. Maybe he wasn't ready yet. Maybe he's developing. Nonetheless, you get some depth at that position. Everyone's looking for Chris Jones. Everyone's looking for Aaron Donald. Everyone's looking for Kobe Turner. Kobe Turner's taking over for Aaron Donald over there with the Los Angeles Rams. This all makes sense. When you are the worst team against the run in the NFL, the worst team or one of the worst teams against the run in the NFL, you got to find these guys. Dave, what's the best? How do defensive linemen make your job easier as a linebacker?
Just by having huge hindquarters. I look up there and see that, and I love it. I love that with Cortez Kennedy, and he was such a problem. He was an extra meeting guy. I mean, and especially in 1992 when he was the defensive MVP. But I mean, he was to the point where I would alter rules to the defense. Like they would have me in certain formations, we want to slant left or slant right. And I would go wherever Cortez wanted. And I came to the sidelines one time, the coordinator, Tom Catlin's like, why'd you slant him left on that one? I go, because Cortez wanted to go left. And he goes, okay, there goes the game plan. I mean, those guys are just, it's so disruptive. And if they're quick off the ball and just, you know, that's what you see from Leonard Williams. They can't move him. Yeah. And so if you have two of those guys.
All of that makes sense, but I was hoping you would say they keep you clean so you can make those tackles.
Oh, yeah.
They're taking on the double teams. they're clogging the gaps up. They're okay with doing a job that isn't sexy. So what does that do? That allows your Jerome Baker, who's on a one-year deal, your Dotson, who's on a one-year deal, the opportunity to make those plays. So it all makes sense. Not the pick that I wanted, but welcome to the Northwest. Yes. It makes complete sense, and I'm happy for
that. You know, I just want to say one thing, though. I need to see linebackers take on blocks this year. Okay, I missed that. I missed that part. Maybe that's why I left it behind.
Let's also look at this, guys. I think a little tell right here. So you said after the Seahawks, who was supposed to pick? Jacksonville?
It was supposed to be Jacksonville. The Minnesota Vikings moving to that
spot. So they make a trade with him. I guarantee you that phone was ringing in that other room. And the Minnesota Vikings would have loved to trade it with the Seattle Seahawks at, what, number 16 and make the same pick so they could go get their guy. And unfortunately, whatever, if you wanted to trade down and more picks, unfortunately for you, Byron Murphy's grade was that good for Seattle to turn down those trade overtures that you know now people were calling that room. Because if a trade followed you, I am sure they were sniffing around and saying the same thing to John. And he just ultimately looked at that board and they showed the war room. He's high-fiving guys and he's like, can't do it. You know, I can't trade down. All these years I've traded down. I don't have a second round pick. I'd love to trade down. But you know what? The value of that guy right now on our board, what John has said to you two for the last 2 months, the way that they grade, the way they evaluate, I am sure Byron Murphy on that board had a grade where, like, can't do it, man. I cannot trade. Even though this phone is ringing, I'm not answering, and we are going to take a defensive tackle, the top D tackle in this draft.
So did that pick bump tell you that their philosophy of going for the best player available is not BS?
No, that means that that was their best player available. My best player available was Troy Faltano, you know.
But their philosophy.
You know, yeah, their philosophy, I think it works and it sticks for them. Again, it makes complete sense. You got a defensive head coach over here. And there's so much newness to this staff, right? Which side of the ball are they going to attack? It's natural to think that because Mike McDonald's here, he had one of the best defenses in the land with the Baltimore Ravens, that he's going to address that defense and make it exactly what it is. That's why we've seen some of the additions. I thought eventually they shift over to the offense when it comes to the draft and protect their quarterback, because I feel like they have the quarterback of the future and Sam Howell, or they think is the quarterback of the future, they're going to give an opportunity if Geno doesn't work out. What can you do to ensure their success? You make sure they're protected. That offensive line has been shaky, but so has that defensive line and defense as a whole.
Dave, you asked a great question. I mean, I think that's a very poignant question. What was the issue last year?
On defense?
Yeah. I mean, the issue, was it offense or defense?
It was definitely defense.
Yes.
And, you know, the way everybody was playing, I get kind of hung up on the one Steeler run where it was like six missed tackles. Oh. And you saw that, like, six guys were missing tackles. The other five were jogging. You know, and so what that indicates to me is that it's not clear what the assignments are. You can't play that way not knowing, you know, everything just very instinctively. And I feel like that's what, you know, McDonald is going to bring to this defense, that's going to be his system. But yeah, that was the biggest problem, was that you see guys hesitating. It made players into worse players. You know, you look at like Jamal Adams, and, you know, Quandre Diggs is another one. I mean, Quandre deteriorated quite a bit there. I mean, he was a Pro Bowler. And yeah, nobody knew exactly what their assignments were. I just picture like everybody on defense running around with a big question mark above their head. It's just following them wherever they go, because it just wasn't clear. And I don't think he used the athletes that he had to their best ability. Somehow Devin Witherspoon found out a way to make just plays all over the place. And that's one of the other reasons why I like him so much, because that defense was broken.
Well, the Bengals pick is in. They are picking at 18, followed by the L.A. Rams and then the Pittsburgh Steelers rounding out the top 20. We'll come back with the Bengals pick and get you up to speed on everything that's gone on. But in case you're just tuning in, Seahawks stick at 16. They go defensive tackle out of Texas. Byron Murphy II is their draft pick. We'll come back as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Well, the Bengals pick is in, and they go offensive tackle out of Georgia. Amarius Mims, the pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, which means the L.A. Rams are on the clock, a little over 3 minutes to go. We continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, Bob Stelton, Brock Heward with you, taking you through the entirety of the first round. And in case you're just tuning in, Byron Murphy was the pick of your Seattle Seahawks, a defensive tackle out of Texas. And a maybe not the pick people expected, but a pick they need. As we, if we've talked about, this has been a defense that has been, if you've talked about which has been more problematic over the last few years, it's not even been a debate. It's been the defense for a few years. So hopefully this is somebody who can go a long way in helping shore things up. And now we get a chance to see what a division rival in the Rams, who have a first-round pick for the first time since 2016, who's been doing a lot of magic with their salary cap and signing guys to extensions and trading picks.
They went for it, right? They went for it. And they went big, and they went for stars, and they won a Super Bowl with it. It is interesting, guys, with the roster here. I picked up the Seahawks roster before the draft today. And, I mean, look at this defensive line now, right? This was a draft. This was Mike McDonald's first draft, this new staff's first draft. And I know John Schneider runs it, but he listens, and he listens well to those guys. And what do you have now, man? You have Leonard Williams. You have Jaron Reed. You have Dre Jones. You have Byron Murphy. You've got those edge guys. Dave, you made a great point earlier about Uchenna Nwosu, who was lost for a majority of last season. You got like grown-ups now at the line of scrimmage. Right, you got some grown men, some beef at that line of scrimmage, some clay that I think that this staff and Mike McDonald in particular can mold in a pretty unique way.
Yeah, you know what? I think with Leonard Williams, I don't think people really understand what you got, because you know he came over. That didn't fix the defense because again the defense was broken. But you know that guy can play. First of all, he's like the size of an offensive tackle. You know, he's like 6'5", 315, 320. Doesn't look like it. And then he can play anywhere on that line, anywhere, including you know off the edge. So now you get this kid in here, and he learns from Big Cat, and you know you just went through the depth chart there. I mean, it's looking pretty good, and we talked about addressing the line of scrimmage. Well, that's on both sides of the ball, and I do like that it was defensive. So yeah, it was. I think there's people are going to kind of warm up to this. I think it's again not a super sexy pick, right? D tackles work in a little phone booth sized area.
They don't know what that is,
which is a booth that has a phone in it, made of glass, and it had like the accordion window.
You needed coins to make a call. Yes. You had to have a pocket full of quarters as the Rams pick is in.
We're going to have a corner. Is a corner ever going to get drafted? All these receivers. Are we going to ever going to get a corner drafted?
Man. I mean, what you look at the secondary for the Rams, what they lose Murphy here in the last couple of years. Jalen Ramsey has been lost as well. You look at their box, I believe Leonard is gone over there. So if I'm looking at the Rams, yeah, they're probably looking at to bolster up that defense. But to go back to the Seahawks pick, football is essentially protect quarterback, get quarterback. The guys who protect the quarterback, the guys who get the quarterback, really pretty much determine the game. So if you were not going to protect the quarterback with your number 16 pick, okay, go ahead and get the quarterback. You're not expecting a lot of sacks from an interior defensive lineman. If you do, then you just struck oil back in the day, and you got that Texas A&M money in your pocket right now. So I'm quite okay with this pick, and it's all about the rotation on that defensive line as well. For the most part, you're going to see the same five offensive linemen throughout a game, but that rotation on defense is crucial, man. If you can get a guy who can go 100% for 60% of the snaps, man, it changes the game for you.
Let's see what the Rams are doing with number 19 as Roger Goodell steps up to the podium.
With the 19th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Verse, defensive end, Florida State.
Jared Verse, a name that we had heard quite often and just going through all these mock drafts, defensive end out of Florida State, going number 19 overall, probably lower than a lot of people had him going.
Powerful.
Heads to the Los Angeles Rams, so that's somebody that the Seahawks will need to concern themselves with for years to come.
Yeah, maybe they should have taken a tackle to block him, you know, with that first pick.
I'm kidding.
No, that was the guy I looked at. I thought he was a little bit like I thought Latu was a very much better pass rusher than him, but this guy, I watched him put a 325-pound tackle on his butt. He is incredibly powerful.
Just when we thought we were done with Aaron Donald and game records at the line of scrimmage down in L.A., this guy, Dave, 225 31 times, is that a lot of reps?
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Well, and then I think he ran like a four, six, something. Yeah. So, I mean, he's a big, powerful dude, but, you know, once again, so are the offensive tackles in the NFL. So, you know, it's not going to be as easy for him. And that's why I liked Latu more, because I thought he was more developed and, you know, a better pass rusher and had pass rush moves. But, you know, they coach him up. Hopefully he stinks, right? Because he plays for the Rams.
Sure. I don't think he's going to stink.
No, man. I don't think so either.
He is a beast.
When I watch this young man play, there are guys who you can kind of anticipate what they're going to do. He gives you multiple moves and seems like he has a plan. You can tell when guys are just playing football and just going and playing, instead of guys who are, look, I'm going to play fast, but I'm also going to set you up. When you watch a film on this young man, that's exactly what you see. I know he wore number 5, the same as Thibodeau, but that's the type of player he reminds me of a Thibodeau over there in New York.
So, Dave, answer for the football fan out there that's listening right now from just a purely defensive line perspective. You could have had either of those guys. You could have had any of them. You could have had Dallas Turner. Could have had Jared Verse. You could have had Byron Murphy. Why do you think John Schneider in this regime picked a D tackle over the end?
Well, I think that those are important in this defense. You know, there was a couple of films out there where little just things where Mike McDonald was talking about his defense and how sometimes he'll drop the D tackles out of there. I just think that they're not only is the D line really important, but also it just seemed like his defense really helped defensive linemen. Bob and I were looking at Clowney. Mm-hmm. And Clowney had one of his best years, you know, as a defensive tackle there. So, yeah, I think that part of it is interesting because that, and again, it's all about defense. But look, I mean, if they would have taken an edge rusher like Verse, I would have been okay. That's fine. That's kind of what they did with last year with the draft, with the corners.
My total gut and hunch and nothing else, not talking to these guys, not getting to watch minicamp like we will here soon. But they've had 3 weeks and about 3 months to evaluate their personnel. And it strikes me with whatever choice you wanted to make there, they looked at Derek Hall and went, we can do more with him. They looked at Uchenna and said, grown man.
Yeah.
They looked at Boye and said, sack in every game. For like 7 straight games, there's enough there. Like we can, and Daryl Taylor is a flashy guy. Just my gut is they went and said, we got 4 ends. We need more inside.
Daryl Taylor might be one of those guys that just really responds well to the coaching and playing in this defense. Cause that was what it looked like to me. He wasn't coached, you know, and
he was very up and down. You and I spend a lot of time talking about, and I would ask Dave, he'd be looking at the percentage of plays they were on the field. And I'm like, how many plays was he on? Did he play last night? Because you'd go games where you never heard his name called.
But he was so up and down and weird. Like in the Baltimore game last year, all of a sudden he started playing the run really well, but it only lasted for like a quarter. I mean, and then, you know, like he gets one of the long runs, he gets hooked, you know, like a down block from a wide receiver, was totally unaware that the guy was even there. And I'm just like, oh, that was nice for about a quarter. Yep. So, I mean, I just think he needs to get coached up and, you know, you can make something out of him too.
Well, the Steelers pick is in. They are picking at 20, the Russell Wilson-led Steelers. So we'll see what they do, if they bring in weapons for him or what their move is.
That sounds weird.
The Russell Wilson-led Pittsburgh Steelers. That's where we're at these days. And we'll continue to keep you updated on everything that's going on with the 2024 first round of the NFL draft as we continue live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
They are through 20 picks in the 2024 NFL Draft. First round action coming to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, Brock Heward, Bob Stelton with you. We've got you covered on every bit of what's going on out there. The most recent pick, pick number 20 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. For those of you watching on the stream, you see the excitement from Mr. Brock Heward because the third member of the Washington Huskies has been drafted. The guy we all sort of wanted to be here, thought could end up here with the Seattle Seahawks, but Troy Fautanu heads to Pittsburgh.
That's
to
great,
protect
man.
Russell yep. Wilson.
That is great for him. There's some O-line heritage in Pittsburgh. Mm. There have been some great linemen through the years, and he waited maybe a little longer than anticipated. I'm sure some of him in his heart was like, can I end up in Seattle? But I love that shot with his family. He told us earlier in the week, you jumped on our show in the morning, he said, yeah, I got the invite to New York, wasn't going.
Yeah,
they told me I could only bring 15 family members.
Said that's not enough.
Not enough, man. And what? As you saw that picture right there with about 50 of them in the room celebrating a top 20 pick, three bump. I'm sorry, man. Three dogs in the top 20.
I ain't mad. Hey, I got love for the dogs, except for 04 to 08 when I got three of them things on them. But other than that, man, it makes complete sense, man. Troy Fautanu goes to Pittsburgh, joins Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, wherever he's going to protect. You got George Pickens, the number one receiver over there. Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, a nice 1-2 combo over there. Yeah. The thing that you can guarantee about a player who goes to Pittsburgh, he is going to be coached up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're always one of the most well-coached teams in the league. The fact that they made the playoffs last year with Pickett at the quarterback spot says a lot about it. So, no, happy for Troy, man. I wish he was still here in Seattle. He had to sit a little bit longer. What'd you say? He only allowed 15 people at the draft. You already know how the polys get down, man. You need about 45. So, yeah. I'm just happy for him, man. It's a great spot to be.
Now, what did you say happened between 04 and 08?
I got three of them things. Mm-hmm. Apple cups. Gotcha. Holla at me.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's funny. During, let's see, 95 and 99, I got three of them, too.
Hey, you know, we got something in common.
We do.
I'm particularly fond of that voice, Bob.
I really, really enjoy that.
Doesn't Fautanu, just sometimes there's a fit. Doesn't he just fit Pittsburgh?
Yeah, for some reason.
Yes.
He looks like, I don't know.
Like a Steeler. Like you could
just see him. Blue collar.
Grinding guys. I think of Mark Bruner, the old Husky, who's a scout for the Steelers, wherever he is that draft room tonight. Like, yeah, we got a Steeler.
Yeah, I there is a certain kind of grittiness and toughness with this is weird, but when I was on vacation in Salt Lake City, I bought a Pittsburgh Steeler hat.
What?
Yeah, I just thought it was cool. It was really good looking.
What
it was
this? 20 years ago?
Like 2 years
what?
Ago.
What? What?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Dared to wear it out just yet.
You just wore it on vacation?
Yeah. Yeah, and I just, I loved it.
Well,
it
was
just,
when they came in the building week 17, what'd they do?
They beat the crap out of us.
That's why you got the hat.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying he's a front runner?
No, I'm saying that style. Well, you appreciate
it. I also have a picture of Jack Lambert at my desk because he was my favorite player. And I still have my poster of Jack Lambert.
You still have the thought bubble written on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says, don't bleep with me. Yeah. And so, yeah, my mom had it framed for my birthday when I was like 28 years old or something. But, yeah, I mean, he does. He does fit that kind of the grind. He'll be well appreciated Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
By the way, so we got the Dolphins who have their pick in. The Eagles are the team sitting behind them, and there were so many reports that the Eagles were looking to move up. And I thought that would be if the Seahawks traded back. In a number of the mock drafts we saw, they had traded back with the Eagles. Any surprise that they've not made a move or it didn't come to fruition?
Oh, Howie Roseman's doing backflips because he's going to get a corner. He's going to get really high corner. Still not a corner in the top 20 picks.
Yeah, I think they saw the trend that was happening in the first few picks and says, look, we're going to sit back and relax because if there's anything you need to solidify, it's this defense. You signed your two receivers in Smith and A.J. Brown. You got Jalen Hurts over there as well. And who came over from the New York Football Giants to be your running back? Offense, they're saying, look, we should be okay. What got the Philadelphia Eagles to the Super Bowl that one year? It was that defense. So, yeah, go ahead and they sat back and saw the trend and said, we can wait.
Boy, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams here that are really going to benefit from this quarterback panic is what I'm going to call it. Because, I feel like they're looking down the road going, okay, when's the next time we're going to see a class like this? And, you know, the fact that they all went so quickly. Who's going to wash out, guys?
I mean, I think that group?
The popular
Drake May.
Yeah, Drake May is, you know, popular. Jaden Daniels, I think, but maybe J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. Yeah. Is it Bo Nix? Yep. I mean, the one criticism I heard about him was that, you know, he's great within the confines of that Oregon offense. And like you said, Brock, he is able, or maybe you, Mike, talking about how he would just operate that offense and it made sense to him and it worked for him. What about when he gets, as you talk about, the adversity, you know, things are breaking down around him.
You know, it is a little different, Dave, and I understand where you're coming from with the QB panic, but these are like grown men. Like, yeah. Penix is going to be 24.
Yeah.
Nobody's played more than Bo Nix in the history of college football at the position. I think there was just some intrigue and appeal to that, too. Draft,
the Miami Dolphins select Chop Robinson, linebacker, Penn State.
Chop Robinson, edge rusher out of Penn State, going to the Miami Dolphins with pick number 21. So the Eagles are now on the clock, but go ahead and continue your thought there.
No, I think that's part of it, was just like, man, if the QB is there, we just can't pass on the QB. If the tackle is there, we can't pass on the tackle. If the pass rusher is there, we can't pass. I mean, look at this. Look at how this draft is stacked up now. Six quarterbacks. Right? How many offensive tackles went? Every offensive tackle that was projected to be a, you know, top 20 guy, they all went. We've got three receivers that have gone. We've got now the top four pass rushers in Latu and Chop Robinson being the fourth of them.
Along with the first corner coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we still don't have a corner or a safety or a linebacker, right? Or a running back. We've got one tight end who's just a freak show tight end, but you know, the league is kind of showing you where they prioritize the most important talent on the field.
And I think the reason why they're going that way is just the way the game is called today. Mm. I mean, in back in Wyman's days where you can suplex and just body slam a dude.
Souffle.
those days are over, and I miss them, Dave. Honestly, I miss them, man, because it cleared out or weeded out the week, honestly. But this game is geared towards the offense right now, and you're seeing GMs recognize that. We're going quarterbacks. We're going receivers. We're going outside. How do you build a defense, though? So as I sit down and I watch all these picks going down and I think about the Seahawks and how they're building this defense, it's from the inside out. You have to start inside the box. Your one tech, your three tech, your Mike, your Will. Then you work on the outside because, you know, I'm the size of an average man. You can find a 5'11", 190 walking down the block right now. You ain't going to find a 6'3", 300-pounder or a linebacker who's going to get in there and stick his nose into the tackle. So I understand what they're doing here, but I also understand what the league is doing as well.
All right, there you go. The Eagles are on the clock, a little under 3 minutes to go with pick number 22. We'll bring you up to speed on everything that's happening as we continue with live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.
You're listening to the 2024 NFL Draft. Hear reaction to every Seahawks pick on Seattle Sports and streaming live on the Seattle Sports app.
Eagles currently on the clock as we get back to the action of the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. It's Brock Huard, Michael Bumpus, Dave Wyman, Bob Stelton with you, and we're waiting to see if their first cornerback will be taken. So far, no cornerbacks taken. A lot of good talent out there, showing a few guys hanging around in the green room, which is always gets kind of sad as it gets later because they were all expected to go earlier, and that's why the camera seems to pan in on them after every single pick. But
Brock, you hate cornerbacks. Don't try to act like you.
Dave, I love defensive players. I have such respect for them. You know,
we don't know the play. We don't know the snap
count.
You
just have to react to everything the offense is dictating. Six quarterbacks, six tackles, four DNs. By my math, that's 16 of 21 guys defined by three positions on the field. Six offensive tackles, four dudes that they block at end, six QBs. Pretty amazing. And you got the 1D tackle. The Seahawks got the 1D tackle in this class so far.
Well, the Eagles have Jordan Mailata making this pick from Australia on a beach. He's holding the card and reading the selection, which is Quinion Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo.
Not either of the two we thought would go first, but it is the first cornerback off the board headed to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now the Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock.
Yeah, a lot of speculation this morning. Not a lot, but there's some of the mockers and other people thought maybe Philly, because of the relationship that Howie and John have for all these years together, that could have been one of the landing spots for them coming up and getting a corner. But fortunately for Philadelphia, kind of feels fortunate for both these last two picks, or for Pittsburgh in particular and Philly. Like, hey, man, just wait it out. Just be patient. You know, Pittsburgh could have easily panicked and said, we got to go get Fautanu. We got to go get him. We got to go trade up. But they waited and they got him at 20. And the number one corner on the board bumped. The number one corner in this league where you got to cover these receivers? The number one goes number 22 overall.
Yeah, there's nothing like having a corner who can shut down one side of the field. And he's no chump neither, man. Bench press 225 21 times as a corner. So you go ahead and do your thing. They say he's best when it comes to zone coverage. But in this league, you're going to be asked to do a lot of things. Now, you talk about where he was drafted to in the NFC East, where you have two receivers over there with the Philadelphia Eagles that you have to take care of. You have just the way the game is going. This is a position that's almost being devalued because of the surplus of those type of players that are available in the draft. But the league is going that way. So it's kind of weird to see the corners drop as far as they have dropped. But you also understand, because of the talent and the surplus, it's a necessary position.
And it's not a Georgia corner. It's not an Alabama corner. It's not an Ohio State corner, Dave. It's a Toledo.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. You probably didn't do any of his games.
Toledo Rocket.
Yeah.
I did not see the Toledo Rockets out of the MAC. No.
What conference is that in?
You know,
the MAC.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. I think corner is the second hardest position to play in the NFL. Maybe offensive tackle is right up there because of who you're facing. Yep. I mean, these corners are facing just monsters that can run. Can you imagine trying to cover DK? If you're 5'10", you know, like a lot of these corners are, trying to cover that guy. I mean, then the other thing is about them is, like, they don't know how to tackle anybody anymore because everything seems to be a penalty. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, the pass interference part of it and all that. I mean, I think
this is what I like. I like the grumpy hour that we get with Wyman. The longer we go, the grumpier as far as this.
And Bump immediately and started laughing.
I'm here for it. Dave, I am here for it. Let it out, big boy.
All right. Well, I mean, it's, it needs, somebody needs to speak up for these defenders.
Yep.
Okay.
It ain't gonna change, though.
Yeah. You better have some special stuff, and that dude does, right? So you come from Toledo. You better run 4.3.
Yep.
You better bench press 225, 20. Like, you better
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you better have some unique gifts to him. And first corner off the board, finally, Mr. Stelton at 22.
Yeah, it's just not the name I was expecting. So out of Toledo he goes, and we'll see how much he helps that defense out there. And saw that little note earlier that they re-signed A.J. Brown to a 3-year extension for a whole lot of money. So
yes, they did.
That's a team that is set up, as we are at the 23rd pick. Jags have the pick in. They'll be followed by the Dallas Cowboys and then the Green Bay Packers.
Every time I see a receiver sign a deal over the last 2 or 3 years, I think about what a good deal we got on DK.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that they need to use him more and throw it out to him. I thought there were so many times they could have done that last year, but they got kind of a bargain.
Yep.
Cause these guys are now making what, 29, 30 million. I think DK was around 24.
Yeah.
And you still have Justin Jefferson hanging out there waiting for a new deal.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the big money.
Ross St. Brown to sign a big one.
Huge deal. Yeah. Huge deal. What's going to happen out in Cincinnati? I mean, you know, you got guys that are in line for a huge deal. So you're right. I agree with Dave that, you know, that deal looks better and better. Yep. That extension and all the talk about trading him never made much sense to me.
Well, and it'll be even better when they get an offense than a quarterback. It's not the quarterback's fault. I just thought there was too many times that they were too conservative with him. He's a weapon and you're not using him.
So do you think Grubb, now you look at the way Grubb called an offense with UW, everything was down the field. Rome's going up to get him, McMillan, Polk. Yeah. So you have to be encouraged, and you think that Grubb's going to go ahead and use number 14.
Yeah, and I like some of the elements of their running game too. Yeah. When they do like the post and pull, and you know, that kind of offense, that kind of running game, they kind of mix it up. Love that. So I'm hoping that they use him. And I, you know what, the other thing, haven't heard a peep out of DK. No complaining. Never complains about getting lack
Even
of targets.
That little punk teenager yesterday.
You I saw that.
Oh, what a little
Cathedral High School in Cali.
What a little creep.
Those Cali guys.
What happened?
Oh, come
this
on,
new generation.
Don't do that to us.
Jeez,
that's Cathedral. That's East Side. I'm from the West Side. Okay. It's different. It's different.
Oh, there's this little like 15-year-old punk Wyman that was trying to punk DK and say that Jalen Ramsey's your daddy. And DK just kind of kept his cool.
Came like, around the corner. Mm-hmm. Seemed like he surprised
so what,
him.
What'd you say? And the kid didn't back down. He's like, I said, Jalen's your daddy. And he's like, who are you? And by the way, the commissioner's now up with the Jaguars pick.
No, I'm more interested in this story than what the Jaguars are doing.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it ended. He goes, well, who are you? And then all his friends went, LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU headed to the Jags with the 23rd overall pick.
I like that.
So he's they get a little offensive help out there for Trevor Lawrence. But yeah, that was a video that was circulated. I'm not sure where they were, what they were doing, what DK was doing.
He's working out.
Yep.
All season working.
LSU put any players in the NFL?
Yeah.
Last time I checked.
And they all like their shades. All three Baton Rouge boys all wearing their shades tonight. Started with Jaden. Yep. And then went to Leak. And now Brian Thomas Jr., another big receiver that can really run.
Just the thing out there. So yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are now on the clock with pick number 24. Who are we most interested in seeing? That's left on the clock. You got the 49ers, division rival, picking at 31. Chiefs picking at 32. I'm kind of curious to see what the Lions do.
Yeah.
You love the Lions.
I want to see what Buffalo does. Favorite. I want to see Buffalo because Stephon Diggs is no longer there. They lost their number two receiver as well. How are you going to attack this draft? But real quick, going back to the Jacksonville Jaguars, you look at that receiving core. Goodness gracious. You got Christian Kirk now. You got Gabe Davis. You just drafted this young man, too. They believe in Trevor Lawrence. The crazy part about this, if you look at Trevor Lawrence's first 48 games and you compare it to Daniel Jones's 48 games,
similar.
Yeah. It's wild. But obviously, Trevor Lawrence is the better quarterback. So good for them. Hooking him up with a receiver.
Well, 23 picks down. They are on the clock with the 24th pick are the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to keep you up to date on everything that's happening live from Detroit side of the 2024 NFL Draft. We are coming to you live from the Virginia Mason Athletic Center. This is Seattle Sports on 710.